Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. In case you were wondering, and if you haven't looked outside, yes, it's still winter. I checked the old thermometer this morning, and it clocked in at a balmy 15 degrees. It's already snowed twice, and after I finish preparing the program for you this morning, I'm going to go clear the driveway and sidewalk for the third time. Fun times in the Wyoming winter. However, there is good news. No thanks to Governor Gordon, that is. The Wyoming energy industry is still operating at peak efficiency. If he had his way, it wouldn't be the case. Later on in the program, I'm going to tell you about a little trip he made to Harvard University to talk about his climate change agenda. That's right, my friends. Climate change mark Moonbeam Gordon has struck again. What's perplexing about that whole event, as you'll realize by the end of the program, is that he actually thought he could come back to Wyoming without criticism of what he said on the East Coast. The internet, it would seem, has made the world a much smaller place than it was 10 or even 5 years ago. What you say during a visit to Cambridge, Massachusetts, or in a conversation to a New York City public radio producer, gets back home pretty quickly. Given this week's events, it would seem that we've moved way past focusing on Wyoming and Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems. Of course, I'm referring to Albert Somers, Speaker of the House, and Governor Mark Gordon.
I also want to say thank you for keeping in mind how important it is that we have Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems. But I grew up in this state, and I love this state, because Wyoming people focus on Wyoming solutions for Wyoming people.
Interestingly enough, not 2 minutes before he said those words, he was discussing how he had contacted FEMA to help with our winter, and most recently was the good governor's visit to Harvard University to discuss his solution for climate change. Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems, you see. And then there's this from Redcoat Speaker of the House, Albert Somers. He's not quite the seasoned orator that our head of state is. So he wrote an article in the Cowpie entitled, "Why Does the Freedom Caucus Tell Its Members How to Vote?" from May 19th of this year. And I quote, "Wyomingites are independent thinkers. Why does the Freedom Caucus pander to a national agenda instead of seeking Wyoming solutions to Wyoming problems?" End quote. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds a heck of a lot like the talking points every liberal media outlet in the country repeats every single morning. Well, anyhow, thought it appropriate to talk to folks out of state about Wyoming problems. Governor Gordon gave a now roundly ridiculed talk at Harvard University, and recently, Speaker of the House, Albert Somers, appeared on a podcast put on by New York Public Radio. And I'll tell you about both of them in just a second. But first, an absolutely egregious profit timeout. This snowy Saturday morning, Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. Right now, all of your fun summertime playthings are being covered up with snow. You could have prevented this horrible circumstance if you had just talked to my two friends at Morton Buildings, Nick and Jesse. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. It doesn't matter if you just need a garage or a barn or maybe something larger, like a giant roping arena so you can practice all of your rodeo stuff while all of that white stuff is flying around like it is right now. Or Maybe you've been considering expanding your business and you need a giant warehouse. Doesn't matter what type of building you're thinking about, give Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Even though the snow is flying around and it's super, super cold outside, I know of one thing on a Saturday morning that'll warm you right up. Hot wings. Hot wings from the Wing It food truck. They make the most incredible wings in the state of Wyoming. And it's not just hot wings. They have several other different flavors. I personally recommend the sweet habanero wings. They're incredible. Now, to figure out where this truck is going to be, go to their Facebook page, The Wing It Food Truck, and there you can find out where each and every day they've parked their truck. Trust me, they're the best wings that you're ever going to taste. That's The Wing It Food Truck. Are you thinking of buying or selling some property? Well, the number one thing that you have to have before you ever get started is a real estate agent that you can trust. And that agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. Last year, she sold around $25 million worth of property. And get this, she's actually been known to talk buyers out of a piece of property simply because it didn't meet their needs. Whether you're buying or selling, you need a real estate agent that knows what they're doing. That's Rebecca Bextel. Again, her phone number is 307-699-3519. Call her today. No, wait. Finish listening to the broadcast and then give Rebecca a call. And now, back to politicians that don't practice what they preach. Before the break, I was telling you how Speaker of the House Albert Sommers and Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon seem singularly focused on keeping Wyoming's problems within Wyoming and not looking anywhere else for solutions. It seems, though, that that's only what they say publicly and how they would like other Wyoming politicians to act. Recently, October 25th, Albert Sommers appeared on a New York public radio podcast called Death, Sex, and Money. Though much of the discussion on the podcast centered around Albert's ranch and his marriage to his wife, Sue Sommers, there were two very, very interesting comments he made about Wyoming politics. Here's the first one.
I really believe in the institutions and the process. These processes and these institutions are what keep us, our democracy intact. And when you assault the institution, when you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems and have a democracy.
How fundamentally profound. First, Albert, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional representative republic. There's a difference. You should know that. You're the Speaker of the House. What caught my attention was not his ignorance of our form of government, but rather what he said about civility. Everything that I've read about Albert Sommers leads me to believe he doesn't care about civility at all. Just so we're clear, here's that little soundbite one more time.
When you assault the institution, when you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems.
When you're assaulting the institution. I'm sure you're not referring to what you said in an article published on the Cowpie entitled, Why Does the Freedom Caucus Tell Its Members How to Vote on May 19th? And I quote, I believe Wyoming Republicans remain a party of free men and women, not blind followers and not conformists. And yet the media, hardline conservative pundits, he wouldn't be referring to me, would he? State party leaders and the Freedom Caucus want to push all Republicans into the round hole of conformism when we truly are the square peg of diversity. When Republicans bulge out of the margins, these pundits accuse us of being fringe libertarians and the religious right. Albert Sommers would never be accused of that. Moderates, rhinos, and liberals. This vicious discord marginalizes and weakens the Wyoming Republican Party. Another one. So why do some elements of the Wyoming Republican Party, including the Freedom Caucus, of which 26 of his members are conservatives, want all Republicans to conform to a narrowly defined dogma? Why does the Freedom Caucus tell its members how to vote each day during the legislative session? Why do they incite fear and stoke anger? End quote. First, a lot of what he said in there is not true. But secondly, let's remember what he said.
When you assault the institution, when you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems.
Like when you said this from the same article, quote, Wyomingites are independent thinkers. Why does the Freedom Caucus pander to a national agenda instead of seeking Wyoming solutions to Wyoming problems, end quote. Or there's this little gem, quote, Wyoming has shown when political philosophy is elevated to a dogma, the result can be fascism, theocracies, and communism. Diversity of opinion and the right to freely express these opinions is the foundation of this nation. Republicans should guard against conforming to any narrow dogma. End quote. Fascism and narrow dogma sounds entirely civil to me, Albert.
Use incivility to diminish the institution.
And then on May 20th, he told the Cowpie, quote, that the Freedom Caucus is dividing Republicans in its thirst for power, end quote. Wow. A thirst for power. On August 27th, Sommers and his pal Ogden Driscoll, president of the Senate, wrote an article entitled Wyoming's Permanent Savings on August 27th of this year. In it, they said, quote, in the 2023 general session, the Freedom Caucus voted against a budget that will save nearly $1.5 billion by the end of fiscal year 2024. And without blinking an eye, they voted for HB 66 and HB 116, which would have cost the taxpayers nearly $1 billion. To make matters worse, these bills would have put our mineral and healthcare industries at risk while ignoring the Wyoming Constitution. Does that sound conservative to you? Thankfully, traditional conservative Republicans stopped these bills from becoming law. End quote. Now, lying, bold-faced lying, isn't very civil at all, is it, Albert? Allow me to explain. The reason why most conservative legislators voted against the budget in 2023 is that it spent way more money permanently than all of that savings would have generated. There were spending on all sorts of things that were not necessary. The $1 billion that was attached to HB 66 was put there in the form of an amendment by none other than Representative Barry Crago, one of Albert Sommers' good pals in the legislature. That $1 billion amendment was put there because Albert and Barry Crago claimed that the federal government would take all Medicaid funding away if we banned mandatory vaccines. 17 other states have passed that bill, and not a single dollar has been taken from them. So the amendment in and of itself was a lie, and now what Driscoll and Sommers write in that August 27th article is also a lie. It seems to me that lying to your constituents to accomplish your political goals isn't very civil at all. But it might also be assaulting the institution, eh, Albert?
When you assault the institution, when you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems.
And then there was this fantastic article that Albert posted on his Facebook page on September 22nd of 2020. Okay, I get it. This was a while ago, but this article is a whopper written by Matt Michaeli. Quote, the division in Wyoming then is between this new wave of alt-right voices and traditional Reagan conservatives. Many of the characteristics of the alt-right are described above. Rejection of the normal political discourse and philosophies, dissemination of provocative content that is usually based on misleading information and relying on fear to motivate voters. However, the single best way to identify the alt-right in Wyoming is that its members never actually have any solutions. The alt-right is not interested in the real problems facing our state. It's much easier to make a meme or distribute misleading content online based on over simplified generalizations or flat-out lies than it is to actually try and make Wyoming a better state. End quote. Do you know what the alt-right that Michaeli is referring to is? The Anti-Defamation League defines alt-right in this way. Quote, Alt-right is short for alternative right, is a repackaging of white supremacy by extremists seeking to mainstream their ideology. People who identify with the alt-right regard mainstream or traditional conservatives as weak and impotent, largely because they do not adequately support white racial interests or are not adequately racist or anti-Semitic. End quote. There's nothing like calling everybody that disagrees with you a white supremacist. But keep in mind, that was in 2020, way before he was Speaker of the House. You don't suppose calling everybody that disagrees with you a white supremacist would qualify as this, do you?
When you assault the institution, when you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems.
And then there's what Albert wrote in the Pinedale Roundup this morning. Quote, "This session, we faced multiple attempts by outside Washington, D.C. interests to infiltrate the People's House like never before, encroaching on Wyoming people's priorities and promoting a narrative that is far from the truth." End quote. So again, Albert Sommers is calling everybody that disagrees with him a liar, when the truth is, it's Albert Sommers himself. That's why the Cowpie tweeted on February 22nd, quote, "House Speaker Albert Sommers has sat on a bill for 25 days that would bar public school teachers in Wyoming from teaching gender identity and sexual orientation to children. An attempt to maneuver around the speaker on Wednesday failed by a 34-27 vote." End quote. That's just one of the things that Albert Sommers claims isn't happening in Wyoming. When the evidence of it is on the Wyoming Education Association's website under their Safe and Just Schools cadre. Let me just quote that one for you. Under the title of Social Justice Umbrella, and I quote, "In this training, we will explore what defines social justice and what fits under that umbrella. What social justice issues are impacting our students' learning? During this session, we will explore together ways each of us can activate change." End quote. So the Wyoming Education Association is training teachers to become activists. If you read further in on that page, you'll find numerous reference to the LGBTQ agenda throughout Wyoming education. Keep in mind that throughout his political career, Albert Sommers has been one of the biggest supporters of the Wyoming Education Association. Again, this is from the Pinedale Roundup, October 28th, this morning. Listen to how he ends his opus. Quote, "This time, it is the ones who claim freedom, transparency, conservatism, patriotism, and liberty who are actually the most lacking in those traits. These are the operators of the code of Washington, D.C., and not the code of the West." End quote.
When you use incivility to diminish the institution, really what you're doing is diminishing your ability to solve problems.
Yeah. There's a couple more sentences from the Pinedale Roundup, and I quote, "As kids growing up in Wyoming, our parents would tell us to be humble and watch out for people you run into who claim to be smarter or more moral. They taught us to work with others with the purpose of integrity and truth." End quote. Work together with integrity and truth. Here's what Sommer says about working with other people.
"I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be intimidated by people. They can think they can, but it ain't going to happen. I got too many hard heads in my background to be intimidated."
The question is, has Albert Sommers been bullied and intimidated from the very beginning? No. The conservatives in the House of Representatives asked Albert Sommers numerous times to pull bills from his drawer, and he absolutely refused. The truth is that Albert Sommers does have a hard head, and he doesn't want to work together with conservatives. In fact, just about every vote on the floor of the House of Representatives ended up 36-26. 26 conservatives and 36 liberal redcoats and Democrats. And I probably don't have to tell you which side Albert Sommers ended up on, do I? The truth is, for all of his professions about working with people and being civil and acting with civility, turns out Albert Sommers is the least civil of all of them. Distorting the truth, out-and-out lies, and name-calling, none of that fits with what he told a New York City podcaster earlier this week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a word from the venerable Governor Moonbeam Gordon.
So in the case of, one of the biggest issues, I think, for the nation, and one that I'm very proud of for Wyoming, is that we are the first state that has said we're going to be carbon negative.
I have a question. Who else in the state of Wyoming has said that we are going to be carbon negative? Oh, that's right. Nobody else. Only Governor Mark Gordon has said that. Recently, Governor Mark Gordon made a trip to Harvard University to talk about his pet project, climate change. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when Governor Gordon ran for office, he didn't say very much about climate change, did he? But of course, Gordon is in the last 3 years of his last term, so he's pretty much a lame duck and can do whatever he wants, up to and including trying to transform this state from being the nation's energy powerhouse into one that supports renewable energy. And what the heck does being carbon negative actually mean? Best I can tell is that carbon negative means that an entity's carbon footprint is less than neutral, so that the entity has a net effect of removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere rather than adding to it. How are we going to do that when we have all of these coal mines? Somebody ought to ask the gov that question. So, Governor, instead of going to Harvard University, why not talk to Wyoming citizens before you spout your mouth off all the way across the country about how all of us believe in climate change? Here's what he said to those snotty elitists.
It is clear that we have a warming climate. It is clear that carbon dioxide is a major contributor to that challenge. There is an urgency to addressing this issue, and it isn't going to be solved only by turning off fossil fuels.
Did you catch what he said right there at the end? Let me play it again for you.
And it isn't going to be solved only by turning off fossil fuels.
It isn't going to be solved only by turning off fossil fuels? That means Governor Gordon's solution includes turning off fossil fuels. Wow! The governor of the nation's biggest coal-producing state just claimed that to solve climate change includes turning off fossil fuels. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what those words mean. Governor, you need to get your tail back here to Wyoming and explain to all of us Wyoming simpletons exactly what you were saying at Harvard University. Frankly, everything he said is an absolute disgrace. Personally, I look forward to Governor Gordon's response to all of our questions surrounding his entire appearance at Harvard University. And if the good governor feels so inclined, I will give him the entire hour on cowboy state politics to talk about what he meant at Harvard. And as it relates to that, let me just reiterate that the invitation is always open to the Speaker of the House, Albert Sommers, should he wish to come on cowboy state politics and debate the real definition of conservatism. Frankly, both the Speaker of the House and the governor could learn a lot from listening to cowboy state politics instead of listening to the likes of Steve Harshman, Drew Perkins, and every other redcoat down in Cheyenne. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.